Welcome to another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors, your frontline defense against identity theft. We're all about prevention. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org. Use the code FSN2 and you can get started now. Welcome. You're listening to another installment of the Identity Theft Warriors. I'm Kerry Lutz, and imagine you're just running a business, running your life, not thinking about anything. Your identity gets stolen, and you wind up losing upwards of $300,000 that's not insured. You just have to take the hit. Well, John Celio, who you're about to hear from, it's exactly what had happened to him. And rather than sitting back and licking his wounds, he decided to take the battle to the identity thieves by becoming an acknowledged expert in the field, writing books and speaking and warning you about the perils of identity theft. And John, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
It's so nice to be on the show. Thanks, Kerry.
Sure. So you're basically running a business, minding your own business, literally, and you're hit by an identity thief and you have money embezzled from you. Just tell us quickly what happened.
Yeah, so I'm actually a two-time victim. The first time it was kind of the garden variety, out of my trash, unshredded mortgage documents, copies of documents that, you know, back 10 years ago, we weren't really thinking about shredders. And a woman used those documents to purchase another home in my name in a different state in Florida, and went bankrupt and committed some crimes. And of course, I was the one that was on the hook for all of this and had to prove that it wasn't me. And
you have to prove a negative.
Yeah, you have
always
to prove
hard.
It's so difficult. And what you know from the world of law, it's to show that you didn't do something is very hard. And then I didn't, like a lot of people, I didn't really apply those lessons that I had learned, the shredding and monitoring my credit and stuff we can talk about. I didn't apply it to my business. And I'm an entrepreneur. I had a small software company, and it turns out that my business partner used my identity to embezzle about $300,000 from our clients. So he was using, the bank login credentials that were sticky noted to my monitor, and files that I didn't have properly locked up, and really took us for everything we had. It destroyed my couple million dollar software business, put me out of a job completely. I faced 2 years of criminal trials and lost pretty much everything in the process. And that's how I became an author and a speaker on the topic, is there was nothing left, and I had to make sure this didn't happen to others.
Oh my goodness. What a terrible thing. You were basically a businessman who followed the rules and did what you were supposed to do, paid your taxes. And then one day you wind up in the situation where it sure looks like you did the wrongdoing, even though it was your identity being stolen by somebody you trusted.
Somebody who was quite possibly my closest friend, my rock climbing partner. I think that's a theme throughout a lot of ID theft, and you've probably seen it before, which is we all envision that it's happening just, the Russian crime rings and nation states hacking and methamphetamine labs, but sometimes it's somebody right inside your business.
Wow. And that's really got to hurt on so many different levels, but you managed to literally take lemons and make them into lemonade.
I'd never want to go through it again, and I never want any of your listeners to go through it, and I want to stop that. But I'm in such a neat place now. I get to, I travel around the world. I speak to corporations and associations on data security, cybersecurity, ID theft, and with things like Anthem and Target, Home Depot, Chase. We obviously need we need more education, even in the corporate world.
Yeah, and the IRS, not to mention, and the Office of Personnel Management. And that's why, our sponsor, keepmyid.org, rather than just monitoring, which enables you to watch it as your identity gets stolen, gives you no control over stopping it. They're into doing fraud alerts and credit freezes on your credit reports so people can't take out new accounts, mortgages, like what happened to you.
Right. Absolutely. And that, it's two parts. You do everything you can to prevent it, and then you monitor it aggressively on the backside so that when something happens, you shut it down right away.
Yeah. Today, one common way that we all get hit at some point are these skimmers at the gas stations. Somebody showed me a report that from Miami to Northern Palm Beach County, there were over 100 credit card skimmers on various pumps and gas stations all up and down the coast here.
It's amazing. They appear on you know, ATMs in stores, on gas stations, like you said. Or we have a mall here in Colorado that had just had four removed. And, you know, we did this piece for Dr. Oz a couple of weeks ago that was really fun, showing how easy it is to tell these skimmers if you simply pull on, you know, any of the extruding devices on the ATM machine or on the payment machine. And if they jiggle, if they pull off, most of them are put on with two-sided tape or glue or whatever. And you just have to, you know, you have to take the minute to jiggle that thing that doesn't look familiar to you. And it's really pretty easy to tell.
Yeah, it's amazing. And an ounce of prevention, right? Worth a pound of cure.
Oh my God, I can't tell you how much. I mean, the things I could have done to stop my cases, and for example, a credit freeze would have stopped all the credit being established in my name. That would have taken me maybe 15, 20 minutes and quite possibly could have saved me the entire 2-year battle that I went through criminally.
Yeah. Yeah. Hey, well, who needs it? When you can stop it and you can stop it pretty cheap, you don't even have to go through the hassle of doing it yourself with keepmyid.org. But in any event, now, what are the biggest threats we're facing? I see a massive Android exploit possibility, smartphones.
You know, there's always an Android exploit. And reason is it's an open source software. So, and you can populate anything, you know, basically anything you want on their app store. There's really no vetting process. So, you know, as we talked about off, you know, off mic, if it's digital attackable, I don't care if it's chicken, these types of things are going to happen.
Yeah.
The important part is that you have got, you know, that you're doing the updates, that when Android comes out with its patch, it probably has not been affected yet. And so it's all Android's fault. It's not all Google's fault. To some degree, when the patch comes out, you've got to make sure you put that thing on there so you're not increasing the problem. I can't tell you the number of breached companies we work with that never upgraded their Windows XP box in the back room, and that's the problem. So, you know, we have some responsibility here too, and if it's digital, it's hackable.
Yeah, if it's digital, it's hackable. And not to mention, you don't know who's hacking it. It could be your next door neighbor, as I like to say. It could be somebody in Moscow, Idaho, or it could be somebody in Moscow, Russia. But you're either way, they're going to get you.
Yep, so. That's right. And if they're, particularly if they're targeting you specifically, I mean, there's like your, you know, some of the things you're talking about here doing basic prevention. When you do those, you're no longer the low hanging fruit. You're not the easy mark. And when you do that, they move to your next neighbor. They move to somebody who's an easier take. So as you layer some of these things on, you get so much more secure than the person who's doing nothing.
Yeah, it's the equivalent if you have two houses next to each other. One has a burglar alarm and one doesn't. Which one are the criminals going to go to?
Every time.
Yeah. So you really need to be up on that. And the Android thing, is there anything you can do right now to protect your data from being stolen on Android?
You know, not really. I mean, you know, people are asking, do you turn off your handset or whatever? But you got to realize with cloud software, everything that you have is in more than one place. So, you know, really the thing to do is watch what you put on your phone in the first place. Watch what you put into an Android environment in the first place, and don't expect that it's all going to be 100% private, and be a little bit more mindful of, you know, for example, I will not, even on an iPhone, I will not use banking apps yet because I don't feel that they're sandboxed enough. They're not separated from the other apps. There's too much bleeding of information. So,
right.
You know, the people who are using mission critical type, you know, financial apps on an Android, I'd stop. You know, I would not do that for the time being.
Right. Yeah. Well, what you're saying makes total sense. The risk reward just isn't there. And even on your home computer, using these bank apps can lead to really bad results.
Yep, they can, which just goes back to the same point, which is you better be monitoring your account either with, you know, digital account alerts, logging on consistently, looking at your statements closely, because the only one that cares about catching it really is you. It's, you know, it's your money.
Yeah, well, somebody said you should be treating your data like protecting it like it was your children.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Because, when they said identity theft, it was kind of a flippant title applied. But what you understand once you've been through it is it really takes something very core and emotional away from you. For me, it took, a couple of years being present to my family away while I went through the criminal trials and so forth. So it literally stole who I was. And you don't understand that until you think, thinking about it in terms of your kids losing this stuff, your kids, information on Facebook being pirated and picked up. That's where it really hits home for people.
Yeah. Well, and you're really out there with nothing to protect you. You're kind of like a babe in the woods.
Yeah, you are. And that doesn't mean there's nothing to do. It just means that until you do it, you're right. You're the one that's vulnerable.
Yeah. So what's the best, if you had to do three things to really up your personal data security and information, what would it be?
I'd say the first one, which we rarely talk about, is one we've kind of touched on here, which is stop giving it all away for free things, free stuff, free access, new cards, new websites. Minimize your digital footprint. That's probably the overall, mental mindset that needs to be implemented. I'd say number two for consumers is freeze your credit. Go to the point where in order to get into your credit, somebody needs a passcode. It's like putting a passcode on your computer. And if you can lock down that, your credit profile is your net worth, right? It's your buying power, your future buying power. And if you don't lock that down in even the most basic way, like you would lock down your laptop, it's all going to disappear. All that wealth is going to go to somebody else who knows how to exploit it. So a simple credit freeze, and I've got a great article on that on my website on Cilio.com. These are not rocket science type things. Take the basics. And I'd say the other is, and this is more entrepreneurial and even inside of the home, but, have somebody come in and do a quick security audit, a cyber audit of how you're treating your information, of do you have the firewall turned on? Do you have your Wi-Fi configured so other people aren't sniffing through it? Are you connecting your devices properly? Is your antivirus working? There's too much now. I mean, you don't go and work on your hybrid car anymore like we used to, when growing up, where we could change our oil and spark plugs. Well, it's the same with the computers. You need to have a professional in who does that and clears up some of those breach factors.
That's a great point. You need an expert, and you should probably get some of the publications, John, that are available on your site as well. There's some really good ones on there.
Yeah, those are good books. For somebody who doesn't want to stay awake at night thinking about this stuff, whether it's your kids, your social media, your mobile stuff, there's a couple of great things. A book published by Wiley & Sons that I did called Privacy Means Profit, How to Prevent Identity Theft. And that's a really good one, both for the personal side, how you protect everything from your trash, your wallet, your devices, your brain, your business. And then even into the corporate side of some of the things that corporations need to take a look at.
Yeah, it's just so easy. You have so much data out there. There's people storing your data that you don't even know about. And like we said, John, everybody's data is out there. And the fact that you haven't become a victim yet could be purely a matter of happenstance.
Kerry, you have become a victim. I'm not sure that I could, if I were to have to bet, a speech's worth of fees, I would bet that pretty much everybody has been a victim. They just don't know it yet. I mean, you can't have breaches of the target size, the OPM size, 70, 80, 90 million records at a time, and not have at some point over the last 5 years had your credit dinged, your credit card taken, your Facebook password, your email taken over. You may just not know it because you're not looking in the right places.
And then it's just a matter of time till you get that call from your bank, or your credit cards are all maxed out, or there's a million accounts out there that you know nothing about, or like you, somebody has even purchased a house in your name and maybe defaulted on it and committed crimes. So you really need to be aware of this stuff. John, best place, your website, to connect with you?
You bet. The best place, and I'm going to give you kind of a non-commercial place. I dearly would love people to, you know, book me for speeches and so forth. But my blog, cilio.com/blog, just cilio.com/blog, is a great resource to get you started. You don't have to buy anything. And, you know, if you like the stuff, you can get more of the how to do it, how to protect yourself out of the books and videos and stuff that are on that site.
Well, that's really helpful. And thanks for being on the Identity Theft Warriors. And don't forget, go to keepmyid.org to keep your identity safe, because it's using a lot of what John said to actually freeze your credit reports or put in fraud alerts so that you can't just get accounts opened up. And there's a lot more to it than that. If you go there, use the code FSN2. John, thank you so much. We will definitely have you on again.
I loved it. It's good to be with you. You have a good one.
This has been another episode of the Identity Theft Warriors. To find out more, go to keepmyid.org and use the code FSN2 to get started now.